message is from Family Worship Center. This message will not only build your life, but will make you experience the transforming love of God. Open up your heart and be blessed.
Father, I commit the preaching of the word to you. Please help me. Holy Spirit, as you can see, I'm already tripping. I need your mercy. I need your grace. Help me, Lord. I bring my spirit. I bring my flesh. I bring my emotions subject to the control of the Holy Spirit right now. And Lord, I ask that your word will come out in the way you want it to come. I pray, Lord, that Father, we receive grace to hear. We receive grace to hear. And I receive the grace to speak like your oracle in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I'm continuing and I'm ending this series on the abundance mentality. And I hope that it has not just been a heap of words, but that you have been blessed and you are changing your thought and knowing that managing scarcity mentality is not your portion, and that you're supposed to think like God thinks and think in abundance like God thinks. Praise the Lord. So last week we stopped where Jesus said, it is finished. We stopped where Jesus said it was finished or it is finished. Now let me remind you of some important things we said last week. That God never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That his truths, his values, and his principles do not change. He does not make erratic proclamations or demands only to change his mind later. He does not. His principles are eternal, although the practice may change. I want you to know this morning that the Bible is the counsel of God. The whole Bible, whether Old or New Testament, all of it is the counsel of God. Now, the Old Testament is revealed in the New. The Old Testament is revealed in the New. The Old Testament is revealed in the New. And the New was concealed in the Old. So they are not fighting. What was concealed in the New is exposed in the... What was concealed in the Old is revealed in the New. The whole Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the manifestation of Jesus Christ in those Gospels was to expose us to the birth, the life, the death, and resurrection of Jesus, and to make a transition. So the gospel are a transitional book, a transition from the law to grace. A transition from the law to grace. And Jesus Christ came in those gospels to help make that transition. Hallelujah. Jesus came to help make that transition. And so he lived a life that we could copy from, and then he transited from the old to the new. So the gospels are not the New Testament church. The New Testament church begins in the book of Acts. Do you understand that? You understand that? Because in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it was still the law. Jesus Christ, they were still living in the law, and Jesus made the transition for us. So before Jesus left, he appointed 12 apostles. You remember? He appointed 12 disciples. Now, this is what Jesus did in John chapter 20. John chapter 20, and I'm going to read verse 19. I'm not hearing you opening your Bibles. Indulge me. I like to hear the pages of the Bible opening. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same evening, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Verse 20. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are forgiven them." So when... Excuse me. What? Okay, my mind is running. Sorry, I actually wanted to stop in verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, let me take a deep breath. When Jesus breathed on them and told them to receive the Holy Spirit, he breathed the grace of God upon them. He handed the baton to them and left. He made the transition. To my mind, that breathing on them was receive the grace to execute the New Testament. Receive the grace to carry on the next level. Receive the grace to move on henceforth. As the Father sent me, so I've sent you. Now, what is not being said there is that the old is being done away with. Has been done away with. And so by the breath of the Holy Spirit, now receive the grace to move. That was the grace through the Holy Spirit, and the Levitical order was over with. So what happened after Jesus Christ ascended? What happened after Jesus Christ ascended? I'm still talking about being abundant towards God. Should Christians tithe or not? Not. And if it is finished, close this chapter, and Jesus breathed a new breath, what happened? So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. All of us, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who ascended is also the one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So what happened? When Jesus, of course, he descended to hell, he came back from hell, he empowered the disciples, breathed on them, and he ascended to heaven. As he was going, he gave gifts. He gave some to be apostles, to be prophets, to be evangelists, to be teachers, and to be pastors. He gave those gifts. He gave them the power to execute, to do the will of God. To do what he couldn't do, but he empowered them. So when Jesus ascended, he gave gifts to men. Just hang on with me because it's going to get easier as I go on. He gave these gifts to men so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could be spread. And if you look at the Acts of Apostles, they spread the gospel. And then more than that also, he equipped. The gift was for these gifts, the pastor, prophet, teachers, and evangelists, to equip the body for the work of the ministry. So that was what happened. Before he left, he breathed, and then he went up, he gave gifts for the continuation, the carrying on of this new era. I want you to understand what Jesus is doing now. Because when he ascended, he did not stop his work. He continued in heaven. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1 says, for every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. So the role of every high priest is to offer sacrifices for sins and to offer gifts to God on behalf of men. Do you understand that? That is what a high priest used to do. In the temple, you remember, they used to do all those things in the tabernacle of this showbread, the open place, the holy place, and the holy of holies. The priests did that. And they offer the gifts the people brought to God. They sacrificed and offered gifts. So Jesus Christ, being a high priest, offered his body. And when he left here, he went to heaven. Jesus Christ took his blood and presented to God at the mercy seat on your behalf. And that is why we can plead the blood of Jesus. Because this blood has been taken to heaven and presented to God on the mercy seat. Now, please do me the favor of going home and reading the whole of chapter 5 of Hebrews, chapter 6 and 7 and 8, so you can understand what Jesus is doing. I don't have the time to read all of those, but it's very interesting reading. But I'm going to pick and choose. I'm just going to pick a few verses because of our time. In chapter 6 of Hebrews, chapter 6, verse 19, it says, "This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence before the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." How many of you understand that? How many of you don't understand that? Okay, the Bible is a very simple book. It's just English. I know that when we were growing up, it looked complicated. It looked like what you were reading was not what it was. You had to suffer to unveil it. And then it was deeper than it was. Take a deep breath. Leave it out. The Bible is a simple book. The forerunner, Jesus, has gone into heaven before us. He has run ahead of us. And he has entered and has become the high priest. He is now the high priest of the body of the church. Rather than us having the Levitical order doing all those things in the tabernacle, Jesus has entered heaven. He's our forerunner. And he has become priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This Melchizedek is the one Abraham met, who did not have father or mother. He came from an endless order. And he came like the Son of Man. So actually it was the manifestation of Jesus in the Old Testament concealed, now revealed in the New Testament. And he is in heaven as high priest. And he is doing the work of a high priest. Now in chapter 5 verse 1, we saw that the high priest sacrifices and takes the gifts of men and gives to God. So Jesus Christ is in heaven. He has sacrificed himself. He has taken the blood and he has presented it to Jesus. Do you people understand? Let me see how many of you understand what I just said now. Fantastic. So there is better understanding now. Now look at chapter 7. I'm going to be jumping like I said. Let me read from verse 1. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all." First, being translated king of righteousness, and then king of Salem, meaning king of peace. Is this not talking about Jesus? Jesus is the prince of righteousness. He's the prince of peace. He's the king of righteousness. Now, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made the Son like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Jesus remains a priest for continually according to the order of Melchizedek. Amen. I'm going to jump to verse 15. "And it is yet far more evident if in the likeness of Melchizedek there arises another priest who has come not according to the law of the fleshly commandments, but according to the power of an endless life." According to the power of an endless life. What happened in the tabernacle was perishable, was dieable, if there's a word like that. But what comes with Jesus Christ is the power of an endless life. I would like to add eternal life. Where was I reading? Verse 17, "For he testifies, you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." Amen. Verse 20, "And inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath by him who has said to him, 'The Lord has sworn and will not relent,' you are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." So Jesus Christ is a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. I'm going to jump to verse 20. I've read verse 20, haven't I? I've read verse 20. So let's jump to this final part and I'll explain, and then the hard part will be over. Now this is the main point in verse chapter 8, verse 1. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord erected and not man. For every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. That sounds like chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore it is necessary that the one who also gives some, that this one also has something to offer. That this one also have something to offer. So Jesus Christ, one, presented his blood to the mercy seat. He presents our gifts to the Father and makes intercessions for us. It's somewhere there in the places where I jumped. And he is a minister of the true sanctuary. We are the body of Christ. We are his temple. We are his sanctuary. And Jesus Christ is the minister. But he is not here on earth to administer like the priest. Therefore, he has given to some to be pastors, prophets, teachers, lawyers. No lawyers. That one just came from somewhere. Pastors, prophets, evangelists, and teachers, and apostles. So we are the ones carrying out this work. How many of you are following me thus far? You say, what has tithes and offerings got to do with this? If Jesus Christ is a priest, he must receive offerings. Does that make sense? If he's a priest, he must receive offerings. And he already sacrificed. What the Bible says, by one sacrifice, he perfected forever those who are being sanctified. So Jesus Christ collects our seed. That is what Jesus is doing in heaven right now. He's pleading with us. When the devil comes with an accusation, he will just show the blood. I died for them. I died for them. And God will always look at the blood and forgive you. So he has presented his blood. He is accepting our sacrifices. Whatever you bring to us, the ministers now on earth, we present to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ presents them to God. How many of you understand that? So tithes and offerings, I collect them every week. We pray over them. They give me the piece of paper. I take it to the Lord every day. I take it to the Lord every week. They give me the piece of paper stating what every church gave, what everybody. And you know, God has a way of tracing what you gave. He knows that your offering is in there. I hand it over to God and I say, Father, bless the people. Jesus collects these prayers and gives them to God. The Bible says he ever lives to make intercessions for us. And he is the minister of the new tabernacle, of the new sanctuary that he erected himself. It was not men that erected this tabernacle. Jesus Christ erected us through his death and his resurrection. And now we are the temple and he's administering through us. Do you understand up till now? That is where we are. So Jesus collects our offering. If you go home and read these chapters I told you, you will see how everything flows. The offerings are collected, the priest takes them to God, and blah, blah, blah. Jesus is doing that for us now. So, how are we still supposed to give tithes and offerings as the New Testament? Are we supposed to still give tithes and offerings as the New Testament church? I can only show you from the Word of God. And like I told you last week, the law of first mention is extremely important. When you want to know God's perfect will, you go to Genesis chapter 1. In the garden, you will see what God wanted. That is the law of the first mention. And in Genesis is where many things are mentioned first. So the first book of the New Testament is the Acts of Apostles. That is the first book of our book as Christians. Our first book is Acts of Apostles. What is the first mention of giving, of tithes and offerings in the Testament, in the New Testament? So we'll go to Acts chapter 4. I want everybody to look at that. Acts chapter 4. This is how we are supposed to give. This is how the church, the first church, the apostles who collected the thing from Jesus Christ, this is how they gave. This was how they interpreted what Jesus said to them. So Acts chapter 4, verse 32. That is the first mention of giving in the New Testament. Verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. Neither did any of them say that anything they possessed was his own, but they all had things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. This is how they gave. For all who were possessors of lands, of houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated the son of encouragement, he so gave to the apostles to the work of God that they changed, that they gave him a nickname. And the nickname meant the son of encouragement. Listen to me. All of you who give your offerings and your tithes every day are sons of encouragement. You encourage us, the pastors, to do the work. When you don't give, we are discouraged. There is no happy pastor whose church is not giving. No pastor will be happy if the church is not giving. No pastor will be encouraged if the church is not giving. Because it is with the giving of the offerings and the tithes that the ministry is operated. So, he was called the son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus. Please note that Levite, underline it, because it's a major point. A Levite of the son of the country of Cyprus. He, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. That verse is powerful, and I'm going to show you something in a little. This is the first mention of giving in the old, in the New Testament, and it is very important. It sets the precedence for us. So if we are not going to give tithes, what are we going to give? What should we give? This is the spirit of the New Testament giving. This is how believers are supposed to live. This is the laid down pattern. The believers had one heart, one soul. They were united. They were united. They had all things in common. They sold their possessions, properties, and houses, and brought the proceeds to the apostles in the temple. That was their understanding of what Jesus said when he said, "Give and it shall be given to you." That was how they interpreted it. Jesus said, "Give and it shall be given to you." These were the people who collected the words from Jesus' mouth. And so that was their interpretation. And when Jesus said to Peter, now remember the apostles were listening. He said to him, "Feed my lamb, tend my sheep. If you love me, feed my lamb, tend my sheep." That was what they understood. And so they said, if we are going to tend this sheep, if we are going to feed this lamb, we must sell everything and bring the money and give it to the apostles. And that was exactly what they did. That is the spirit of the New Testament giving. It's not a matter of tithe. Mm-mm. Tithe is too small for the work. Tithe is too small for the work. So I know you are so happy when they said you don't tithe. Hey, thank God I can now chop my money. But it's more than that. Can I tell you something? This was how this building was built. This was how this church was started. It started by Pastor Ina and I giving up everything. All our savings from America. All we got from the beginning was what we used to start this church. We had 150,000 naira then. It was a lot of money in 1993. And in our, I don't know if it was 150,000. I don't even remember the numbers anymore. But every penny we had was what we used to pay the church, pay the for the Sheraton, bought the equipment and all. I know what, we didn't do God any favor. We just lined up with scriptures. And so for the first few years of this church, everything we had, we poured into it. So whatever car we had, we gave it away. Whatever we had, we gave it away. Because that's the spirit of the New Testament church. Now when it came time to build this building, if you were a part of building this building in 1997, 98, stand up. If you were a part of building this sanctuary, stand up in all the other churches to let them see you. I can tell you that everybody standing here sold their land, sold their houses, sold their gold. Some gave up their 1 year salary. You remember? If I'm speaking the truth, raise up your hand. Those of you standing. People gave everything. There was a Sunday pastor in, I came and said, God said we must give our Isaacs. How many of you remember? On these walls are houses, lands, shoes, jewelry, salaries, braziers, pants. People sold everything. You remember? Sit down. In those days, we raised over $450 million in 1993. It is not the money like now. And so people gave like that. That is the kind of giving we must give to move the gospel. I can't tell you how many people have been saved on these altars, or how many people have been saved through the work we have done through this ministry. Only heaven will give account of what we have done. And so that is the spirit of the New Testament giving. They saw themselves as stewards, not as owners. In the New Testament, you are not an owner. Even this jewelry I'm wearing, I'm just keeping them. No, this one is garo. This one is not good jewelry. So don't follow me. This is 10,000 or 5,000. I don't even know. So, but real jewelry that is gold, I am just holding it for God. If he ever needs it, I give it away. If there was ever... So none of them said any of the things they had belonged to them. They sold their lands, properties and all, and they brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. And the apostles now did the work. Of course, they committed it to God, and then they did the work. They took responsibility of feeding and caring for the poor. They used all they had to solve one another's problems. In their midst, they eradicated poverty. The Bible says there was not one person needed amongst them. Everybody had, because they all gave. That is the spirit of New Testament giving. That when you collect your salary, you are not talking about 1%, 10%. You are talking about, God, what is needed in the church? What is needed in your house? How much can I give of this? Is 10% bountiful? Talk to me. Answer me sincerely. Don't say because. Is 10% of whatever you make, is that the bountiful part of your giving? And in the New Testament, our giving is supposed to be bountiful, but I'm already going ahead of myself. See Barnabas, a Levite, to whom offerings were supposed to be brought. He himself sold his land, and he took it and gave it to the apostles. That was the Levitical order submitting to the apostolic order. That's awesome. A Levite. Even Levites. Those who have lived a certain way. Seeing the light, he took it and he gave it. Meaning that the old order had passed. Praise the Lord. So in the Old Testament, tithes and offerings were taken to the Levites and priests so that they had been meet in the house of God. In the New Testament, they sold their properties, belongings, and brought the proceeds and laid them at the apostles' feet, who in turn fed the poor and everything. So the principle is still the same, but the execution is different. Like the Bible will say, different manifestations, but the same spirit. It is the spirit of giving to the poor, is the spirit of bringing to the temple, is the spirit of giving to the work of God. The same. Only that now it's not the law. The law is 10%. So if there was anything more than 10%, you shaved it away. You pushed it. But in the New Testament, you collected everything as there was need. And you brought it and laid at the apostles' feet. I have to move on. That is how it should be. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. I'm showing you the spirit of the giving in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their illiberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, imploring us with much urgency that we should receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. So we urged Titus that as he had begun, he would also complete the grace in you as well. But as you abound in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in diligence, and in your love for us, see that you abound in this grace also. See that you abound in the grace of giving beyond your ability. See that you give, that you abound in the grace of giving liberally. See that you give more than you can, basically. That is the spirit of the New Testament giving. Look at this church. The grace of God was upon them. Now, how many of you will say the grace of God is upon me? Honestly, you know that the grace of God is upon you. There is a grace of giving. And it is the best gift you can collect. I have it. I have the grace to look at 100 million and say, take. I can give it away. They had the grace of giving. These people were in great trial of affliction. In great trial, like some of you are going through now. They were in great trial of affliction. They were also deep in poverty. But they abounded in liberality. They gave beyond their ability. They gave freely and willingly. They implored the apostles to receive. There are some of you, if I say don't bring that, you'll be so happy. But this Macedonian church, they will say, no, pastor, you collect this gift. You have to collect this. We need you to collect this gift. So they forced the apostles to give. In other words, poverty is not an excuse not to give. Actually, poverty is the excuse to give. I am so poor, I need to give my way out of this poverty. I am so sick, I need to give my way out of this sickness. I am in so much trouble that you must collect this offering and let God intervene for me. And so in their poverty, they implored, they begged, and forced the apostles to collect. That is the spirit of the New Testament church. Tithe is an old, orderly, boring, brainless, stupid way of giving to God. It's the first way. This other way is what? It's like when a woman's breasts are full of breast milk. You have to give it out. Or you have to remove it and throw it away. If you keep that, it will hurt you. There are certain offerings you are keeping that are hurting you. There are certain things you are holding on to that are hurting you. There is a car you are supposed to have given somebody. You are keeping and it's killing you. You don't know it. There are certain things in your closet, in your house, in your bank account that are not supposed to be there. Because the more in trouble you are, the more you sow yourself out of it. I'm talking about the New Testament. In the New Testament, tithing does not even arise. We don't pass that place since. When Jesus breathed and said, receive the Holy Spirit, tithing, he said, no, you have gone to a new order of life, a higher order. You have gone to another level of giving. Tithing cannot make it. Under grace, tithing is too weak. So the New Testament knows the joy of giving. They know that it is more blessed to give than to receive. You are better off for giving. You remember Obed-Edom. Obed-Edom, where the ark stayed and he was blessed. It is very, 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 very stupid and foolish not to tithe, or not to give to God. I'm not even talking about tithe. Tithing is no longer a part of this matter. So you say, but under grace should we give? Everything I've read to you, whether it's in Hebrews or in Corinthians, was spoken by the apostle of grace. Who is the apostle of grace? Paul. So grace does not exclude you from giving. It actually makes you to give more beyond your ability. Everybody say, beyond my ability. That is the spirit of the New Testament giving. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where we all know, and see how we are supposed to give in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Open your Bibles. I want to hear them opening. If you don't open your Bible, it discourages me. But this I say, verse 6. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he proposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have all abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower. See, in the New Testament, we give seed. We give seed. We sow seeds. We don't give a law, Levitical order, tithe. We give seed. May he who gives seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything, for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving to God. Amen? Amen. So in the New Testament, we are supposed to give cheerfully without grudgingly. We are supposed to give as our heart proposes. Look at me. If you are a terrible, if you are a stingy, tithe-giving Christian, it's a matter of your heart. If you're an abundant-giving Christian, it's a matter of your heart. So what you need to work on is your heart. Is your heart trusting enough of God? Does your heart believe God enough to supply for you? Is your heart confident that if you give to God, he is not taking from you, but you are creating an excuse for him to come through for you? So it's a matter of the heart. In the New Testament, we are supposed to give bountifully. God does not love a sparing giver. God does not take pleasure in a sparing giver. And I don't care what you are going to write on the internet. I don't care. I didn't read my words. I didn't read you a letter I wrote. I am reading the Bible. That he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. And so it's a matter of sowing and reaping. In the New Testament, it's a matter of sowing and reaping. How much do you want to reap? Sow. How much do you want to reap? Sow. You can don't give out of duress and all. I'm going to run. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3, it says, if I give my body to be burnt and have no love, I do nothing. Our giving in the New Testament is motivated by love. By love for God, by trust in God, by belief in God. So giving must be from love, from gratitude, from joy. You give because you trust God. You give because you want him to. You want to know because you are forced to. Jesus died willingly. It was difficult for him, but he died. He still died. So I must give him willingly. God loves a cheerful giver. I'm going to read some scriptures and I'm going to answer some questions and I'll let you go. One more scripture, I think. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Is the principle we are looking at now. Verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. Verse 2. On the first day of the week, let each one of you do what? What does it say? Read it. Let each one of you do what? That's the New Testament. On the first day of the week, which is Sunday today, let each one of us, let every one of us. So in the Old Testament, all of you bring the tithes. In the New Testament, all of you lay something aside. Bring the tithe, lay something aside for the collection. You say, but that was to poor people. It was still collected and it was in the church. They brought it to the church. Storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. So we are supposed to give. Every one of us is supposed to give. They brought their gift to the apostles because they believed the word of God that Jesus had spoken to them. I want you to know that they trusted the apostles. They trusted the apostles and they were fed by them and it was easy for them to give. I'm saying this to say that if you are in a church and if you are in this church, you don't trust us. You don't trust what our money is doing for you. You don't trust that we are using the money well. You are not fed. You are worse than when you came. This is not your church. This is not your church. If every time I stand up to speak, you are angry and upset, and you are saying, I'm tolerating this woman until Pastor Wilson or Yakubu comes up or Pastor Ikide. This is not your church because I am the pastor of this church. These other pastors are only assisting me. And they They can only preach if I give them the microphone. If you don't like me, you don't like the way I spend this money, go to another church. Because you owe it to yourself to give joyfully. You owe it to yourself to give cheerfully. You owe it to yourself to be at peace with what happens to your money. So, but because you don't trust one pastor does not mean that you will throw away the principle. Because certain pastors are misusing the money does not mean that every pastor is misusing the money. So if the pastor is using the money well, you owe it to him to bring you owe it to God to bring the money there. Amen? So what will I'm going to ask questions now and I'll answer them. So what does a good church do with your money? It teaches the word, the whole counsel of God. It has a good praise and worship ministry. It has fellowship and support opportunities. It ministers to the poor and the needy, to orphans and widows, to those in prison, those in hospitals. It prepares the people for the return of Jesus Christ. There's evangelism. It evangelizes, it disciples, it baptizes in water and in the Holy Spirit. It supports others outside, and it does many, 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 many more. So you have to give, because it was given in the Old Testament, it's being given in the New Testament. Did tithes end in the New Testament? No, yes and no. The Levitical Old Testament law of giving has passed. Giving as a law out of duress, afraid of the curse, has passed. You no longer have to give 10% by law. No. But in the New Testament, you give as you propose in your heart. You give cheerfully and bountifully. You give everything as a steward. Who is a steward? A steward does not own what he oversees. He is just a caretaker. And in the New Testament, we are caretakers. We are not owners of anything we own. We are just taking care of it. So when God says, give that person that extra car, give it to him. When they said the master has needs of the donkey, give it to him. When God, there are some of you, I just heard this, somebody, your brother has been begging you for a certain safari and suit you have refused. Go home and give it to him. Because you are a steward. Tithing is not the highest form of giving. It is the lowest. It is the lowest. It is the base. It is the best. So you start your giving from the tithe. So when you do the tithe, you say, that is the base. I'm standing on this to now really give God. It's the minimum level. I want you to know that a Christian has a spirit of giving. The Christian has... Where am I? It's a starting point. You give above and beyond, and you build upward. So what is the yardstick in the New Testament? The yardstick is bountiful. Did you hear me? So every time you bring out money to bring to church, ask, is this bountiful? I can tell you, if you are collecting 1 million and you remove 10%, 10% and 90%, which is bountiful. Now, I'm not asking you to bring 90% because God is going to tell you what to give. It's not 10%. God will never tell you to give 10% in the New Testament. Did you hear me? So next time you are removing your 10%, know that you are doing the law. And that is not your business. You are not under law, you are under grace. So under grace, you are going to take the 10% as the base. Now, I like the 10%. I like the tithe because it's structure. It makes you at least give a little something. And I'm going to tithe for as long as I live. Now, I am working on my all. I don't know where this is going to go, but I'm going to throw it out there. From 2003... till today, this church gives me 600,000 naira every month. That's what I collect. They've asked, we should add another. I said, I don't want. I will manage the 600,000. This church gives me 600,000 for my food, my things in the house. My tithe is supposed to be 10%. I've never given that. By the time I finish with that 600,000 every month, my giving away every month. So that 600,000 has become my tithe and offering. In fact, it's not even enough. Because every month, I was doing the arithmetic between giving to my brothers and sisters and giving to the people in the village and giving to the people in Kaduna and all. At the end of the day, I'm giving between 600,000-800,000 naira every month. Of course, people give me offerings also. So I give away that 600,000 and it makes me feel good. That is New Testament giving. I could decide to say, I'm giving 60,000 naira. Bam! That is what God is requiring of me. After that 60,000, God must not ask me another question. But even before this, I used to give the automatically on remote control, 120. I used to give 20%, easy. And then I'll distribute the others. Right now, on a monthly giving, I am giving at least 600,000-800,000 naira every month. That's just giving outside. And every Friday, I have a certain amount I give. And then once in a while, I just write an extra something. Some money in my bag, I say, I'm going to keep this one in heaven. I just take it up in heaven. I live like that. And I'm happy. I have never lacked. You have had my salary. If you think it's too much, sorry. I have been working for 25 years. So I deserve this 600,000. I take it without apology. It is not. It's okay. It gives me seed. It is seed to sow. I'm saying that to jack up your brains, not because I want to be proud this morning. When Thanksgiving comes, it's another matter altogether for me. And then once in a while, I just like saving. Do you know it's like in your life, when you have a little extra money, you put it in savings. Anything that comes, I was carrying one money in my bag and I saw that 5,000, 3,000 was going on Friday. I just gathered everything, put it in an envelope, I dropped it. I said, Father, collect this one and keep for me. It's like a child, isn't it? When they give him, they say, Mommy, please keep this for me. And you give it. That's how I do with God. Because I'm God's child. I am not God's adult. I'm God's child. Any God's children here? Any God's child here? So what is the standard? It's bountiful. So when I give up my 600,000 every month and more, that is bountiful. Based on the standard of what I collect every month. Beyond and above your ability. The standard is beyond your ability. Like the Macedonian church. The standard in the New Testament is selling things, selling houses, selling lands, and bringing. So I am looking forward, Pastor Wilson, to the day when I'm going to sell a piece of land and carry everything and go and do wham. Until I do that, I have not finished this Christianity. And when I do it, I'll come and tell you. The other day, I sold a piece of land and I was able to bring the tithe, apart from the offering. The tithe made me so excited, I couldn't wait for morning to come and drop it in church. That was when I still was, but I have never worked on the tithe, but I brought it. The day I will sell a piece of land in this Abuja and do like Barnabas did, then I will know it's coming. Or sell a house and bring it. Bam. That's the New Testament giving. What is the standard? The standard is that widow who brought in 2 mites. That's the standard of the New Testament. It was Jesus reporting that event. The standard is that woman with the alabaster box of oil who broke it. Broke it. She didn't pour. She broke the thing and poured it on. That is the standard. It's not tithe. We're not talking about tithe. Tithe and offering is an old matter. Oh, somebody ought to clap to the Lord right now because I know I'm teaching you the truth. So, the New Testament giving is the Apostle Barnabas' standard. I want to submit at this point that we have actually been undergiven as the New Testament believers. True or false? We have been undergiven. As a Christian, your highest donation and giving should be to the Church of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Before you die, some part of your will must reflect the work of God. And I'm saying my will publicly. Worship teams all over Abuja, when I die, collect all my clothes and share it amongst yourselves. Share all my shoes. My brothers and sisters and children won't need it. I want to give all my clothes to the church. And I'm going to sign everything. I'll give my children small, 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 and everything else. I want to give everything to heaven. So I have solved that problem of I don't want Jesus to come and meet me with things. I have given the will This is my will, I'm saying to the church. Collect everything, my jewelry, my all. Whatever will be sold, sold. I will dash everybody their own. The one that is remaining, take it to the church, sell it. I want to pack everything and put in heaven. So should a Christian tithe? What is tithe? It's 10% of all your income. What is an offering? An offering is a present you give willingly without expectation or payment. How the tithe be used? It should be used to take care of the needs of the house of God, for all church workers, for programs, for ministry, for utilities. The food in Family Worship Center, Pastor Wilson, is this carpet, although I don't like it. Is the food in this church are the screens? Is this renovation? Is the AC? Take a deep breath. Release. You just ate some food. That is the chairs you're sitting on, the cleanliness, the mission support, giving to students, taking care of hospital bills and everything. That is the food. And the church, that is what the money must be used for. Can I tell you something? If you go to a church and the pastor is changing cars, building houses, you should be suspicious. I just finished my house in Gwarimpa. I will show you the picture. It's lovely. But the good thing about that house is that it started from 2009 or 10. I am just finishing. It is very slow. But I'm not stealing any money. As I give, as I have, I put. Now it is finished and it's a beautiful house. Sister Dorothy, it's beautiful, isn't it? It's a beautiful house. So if the pastor, if you suspect anything about how the pastor is using your money, don't give. Because it's not for the pastors. We are not the end users of the tithes and offerings. It belongs to God. Now, if the tithe and offering touches my hand, when it is going, it should leave a little something. That is that 600,000, and I'm happy for it. Hey, I am chopping it with joy. But that is all. I will not say, Godwin, give me 1 million naira here. What do you want? I want to buy jewelry. Godwin, please give me 100. I need to give it to blessing. It doesn't happen in this ministry. It cannot happen in this ministry. My BMW was bought for me in 2009. It's still here. What is the purpose of a car? It takes me from point A to B. It does not make me better than you. It does not make me higher than you. It is not a status thing for me. It is a movement thing. So if it can move from point A to B, it's enough. You will not see me changing cars in this church. I've been driving it for, it will be 10 years next year. It has about 50,000 miles, so it still has a long life from here. My, what is the other one? PDP. What is PDP right now doing? My Infinity is the official car you people, the church, bought for me. And it was bought a little used. It spoils, but we fix it now. It aligned itself. I was going to throw it away, then we went to price the new one. It was 18 million. I said, bring that one. We will fix it. So we are living happily ever after. So if the money is working, how many of you will say the money in this church is working for the work of God? Amen. So you have no excuse. Can I tell you something? If I tell you to bring 50 naira for something, God bears me witness. We take the whole 50 naira and use it for that thing. If I'm not going to use it for that thing, I tell you I'm not using it. That's how we have done. Integrity is everything. Integrity is everything. Okay, let me answer the few more questions and I'll let you go. Can you use the tithe for the poor yourself? Can you? You have answered it. In the Old Testament, they brought the money and the priest distributed it. In the New Testament, they brought it and they distributed it. Those of you who think that you can take your money and give to the poor, what if all of us here took our monies and give to the poor? You will come here, there will be no light, there will be no AC, there will be no seat, there will be no preaching, there will be no microphone. So it is the tithe and offering. You cannot give your tithe and offering to any poor person. You can give them something down the road. You can give them whatever, but you must bring your money to church. Not tithes. You must bring your gifts to the Lord, your bountiful gifts to the Lord. So you cannot use it for the poor. Neither can you give it to another man of God or another ministry Or you say, my church in the village is not doing well, I'll give them my offerings. No. Your church in the village is not sweating with before you every day. It is me sweating before you. So you cannot eat in Biobak and go and pay in Mamakas. It does not work. If you eat in Biobak, you must pay your bills in Biobak. True or false? He said, can I give my money to my mentor? No, you should give your mentors good offerings. Especially those of you whom Pastor Uncle Ambassador Lambo, Uncle Professor Lambo, that is suffering with you, you ought to give him offerings. Don't say, hey, Papa, God has blessed Professor, you know. No, put something in his and let there be an exchange. Okay, so you cannot give your offerings to just anybody on the road. You bring it to the house. The next question. The principle is still the same. Should I tithe from the gross or net? That is no longer an issue. You will never ask that question anymore in your life. Gross and does not. It is not a New Testament question. It's an Old Testament question. So gross or net is not important. It's bountiful. When you remove 10% and you keep the rest, ask yourself which one is bountiful. Now, that does not mean that you should take your life, money, and everything and bring to church, but just ask yourself, what will be abundance? What will be bountiful here? Okay. What should I tithe from? Or what should I give from? Even myself, I need to change the language. It's so difficult. We have used it for so long. As you have received and purposed in your heart, so you should give. You should give from your income, give from your increase, give from gifts, from bonuses, even from feeding money. Don't say this money is too small, I can't give. Take from your feeding money if you are straight, if it is difficult, and sow a seed. As the Macedonians were afflicted and in trouble and in poverty, they gave. That is your standard. Amen? How should I give? Whenever you bring out your gift, take it out, count it, kneel down before God, and give it to God. I say, Father, thank you for the strength to do this. Thank you for this gift. Here is my offering to you. Here is my bountiful. I give it cheerfully. I give it joyfully. And then you put it in an envelope and bring it yourself to church. Don't send somebody, because God is not sending any angel. God is dealing with you directly. God is not acting. There is no middleman between you and God. So you bring it to church and you drop it. Now, when you have to travel, you can, of course, give somebody to bring, or you can put it through the, thank God there is e-transfer now and all of that, so you give. Who should give? We saw in chapter 16, verse 1, at the beginning, the first day of the week, all of you. So all of us must give. But if anybody must give at all, if we have to say who will give, let everybody in the family not give, but who must give? Talk to me. The man. You are the covering. I feel sorry for any man who didn't give under the law. Our law, when we were doing law. And now we are learning about grace. You are deciding, thank God, Pastor has removed this law, this entire law self. I don't have to give. And so you'll be throwing 10 kobo, 5 kobo. You sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. I don't even need to curse you. You yourself has cursed yourself. You have decided that scarcity is your mentality. So every man, you owe it to God to give to God. Amen? Amen. I'm about to finish. Can I give the money to the poor, village church, another poorer ministry, another man of God, or my mentor? Except if your church is not feeding or caring for you, but if it is, you take it to your church. But you can still give them something. How often should I give? Upon the first day of every week, every time you get some money. When you make profit from your business, whenever any money touches your hand, God must have some. The Bible, for every money that enters your hand, there is seed and there is bread. Okay. Every time the offering bucket passes, don't sow the wind. The Bible says if you put wind in the bucket, you will collect whirlwind. Because everything is good measure. No, it's scriptural. It's the Bible. It's in Ecclesiastes. Everything is good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So by giving to God, you are saying, I am not afraid. I trust God. I love God. I'm not worried. I'm not greedy. I'm not poor. And I want the kingdom of God to be extended. Now, after you have given, watch your words. Watch your words. Don't talk negative. If you have given with God to God, you have positioned yourself. The next thing you must do is just thank God and keep calling your harvest in. Stop vilifying the church. Stop saying, I don't even understand this. Whatever. Every day you see that woman with new clothes. Maybe not my money. I will pass. Don't talk about men of God. Keep quiet. The Bible says the children of Israel were complaining in their tents, and God heard. Meaning, husband and wife were, God was listening. Be careful what you say. If you have given your money, don't hear, saying, I'm tired of giving. Save. The Bible says your words are harsh against towards me. You have killed your seed. Watch what you are saying. And by the way, those of you who keep complaining about this church and they are giving church money, is there a business that works that doesn't grow? You say, is church a business? When you collect people together, you are doing some, running some form of business. This is a business I'm doing, right? I'm talking to you. I'm appealing. It's work. I'm working. This is work. How many of you have preached or taught somewhere before? Do you know the trouble of standing here to preach? Do you know how many hours? It sounds to you like I'm playing, but you don't want to even think of how many hours I'm putting here. So why should I not collect money? No, let's be honest. I know some people say, oh, no, but this is a job. This is a J-O-B I'm doing. It's a job. Tell your neighbor, pastor has a job. I have been working for 25 years. And you who just became 27, you are collecting 1 million. And you are so mad that they are giving me 600,000. May God have mercy on you. Because by all standards, after 25 years in any organization, you should go up now. If you are collecting the same salary you were collecting when you stand, it's not a good organization. And in this organization, it's an organization. We've been operating this organization for 25 years. There must be some growth, some similitude of wealth around us. Or else we are cursed. And everything that has life grows. Giving works, and I will give till I die. I want you to know that it's to your advantage to give. Giving connects you to an unending source of supply, positions you for God's blessings, involvement, and participation in your affairs. And I tell you, God knows how to bring money to you. If he can get it through you, he will get it to you. If he can trust you, he will release wealth to you. The Bible says if you are not faithful in mundane things, nobody will give you spiritual, heavy, heavy things. So be faithful in your giving to God. Amen? And I think I am done. I hope that in the course of these many, many weeks, that you have learned to not be a poor person in your mind. Amen. That you have learned to think, give, bless. I don't know about you, but I'm just so determined to be a blessing to the families of the world. Giving creates an abundance mentality and chases scarcity mentality away from you. Giving is obeying God, it is honoring God, it is trusting God, and it is partnership with God. Give and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, and running over. And that is the end of this abundant mentality. Hallelujah. Clap unto the Lord. Clap unto the Lord. Clap unto the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this message. You will be blessed when you do the things that you have heard. You can make a brand new start in life by becoming a child of God. It's as easy as believing in your heart as you say the following prayer. Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. Jesus, come into my heart today and be my Lord and Savior. I declare right now that I am born again. In Jesus' name, Amen. Congratulations if you just said that prayer. It is important that you join a Bible-believing church immediately so that you grow in knowing Christ. We would love to have you visit our church in Abuja, Nigeria. For more information about this ministry, you can visit our website at www.fwcabuja.org. God bless you.
Family Worship Center. We care.